Welcome to Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
Monday. What a beautiful morning we've got for us going on today that is just going to be foreshadowing for the week.
Boy, it feels like fall already out there today. Well, compared to what we had over the last couple of weeks. But man, it is beautiful. The humidity is down today. I think it was in the 60s when I was driving in this morning. So we're starting to get there. You look at the extended forecast, which I did last night, the 30-day forecast. Opening night at Arrowhead popped. 75 and sunny is the expected forecast a month away, but still 75 and sunny for the opener at Arrowhead. I know it's a night game. I get all that, but tailgating is going to be taking place during the daytime hours and during the sun hours. Don't you want great weather for that? So knock on wood that 30-day forecast stays, baby. 75 and sunny for the opener at Arrowhead. Let's go.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. I thought Saturday kind of gave me the feeling of like when a restaurant's getting ready to open up for the first time. You get that soft opening where they bring out, you know, friends and family or, you know, close allies. Yeah, yep. Hey, come have a nice dinner. Like, make sure you tip. You can order whatever you want and give us some feedback of what you liked, what you didn't like. Was that not Saturday for the Chiefs game? Obviously, not a lot of starters, minus Chris Jones playing one play. Still, like, that's got to be Andy, right? Just effing with Chris Jones. Like, I only want to play against starters because I'm a starter. First play comes out. Like, what was that about? Yeah. Get on the sideline. That's what you
it
get.
It was fantastic. I thought it was really good. Really good by Andy. If we're in the Andy's and the Bob Fesco era of his life right now, we're going to see more of this.
But like, why did
I'm 100% in on that.
And nobody asked Andy about it in postgame.
Like him and Ken Walker, both one play.
Yeah, but by the time we got the post game, so much had already happened. People probably forgot that those guys were like even in the game for that one play at the beginning, right? Because you had so much other stuff go on. Like, how about that second offensive line that went on in that game?
But never saw it.
I didn't either. I'm reading about it yesterday when I woke up in the morning after, you know, being out on Saturday and doing our thing. And I'm reading about the offensive line, that the second unit. I'm like, oh, we got some issues here with the second unit of the offensive line. But I thought overall, pretty good dress rehearsal. You know, you saw the young guys do some really good stuff. You got some exciting plays from Emmett Johnson. Cyrus Allen was pretty good in that game as well. I thought R. Mason Thomas was screaming off the edge with a speed that we haven't seen in years here in Kansas City.
Well, you're missing the most important part.
I am?
Yeah.
What's
that? Your player that you were watching the most, which is Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
59-yard field goal with ease.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yep.
It's massive.
So the leg.
Massive.
The leg is still there, right? Yep. Like, I think he probably could have hit that. I'm going to not try to be hyperbolic. 62. I think he probably had three more yards on that kick.
Yeah, there was some more there.
Maybe 60 is...
I wonder how you hit it too differently at 59 versus 65 versus 48 and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Viagra. It's not an easy job, bro. It really isn't. Like, being a place kicker is a very, very difficult job. And if he's back, thank God. Because he stunk for the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, it looks like he's healthy.
That's the key,
He's not bracing himself after kicking and falling to the ground, any of that and weird stuff.
The other thing I will kind of take as like a side note is I don't know if it's like golf and baseball where like with the humid, thick air, like the ball travels further. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I mean, I was fine. 4-for-4, 59-yard field goal, went out there every time. Busted it right through the uprights. Like, yep. I was like, okay, all right, he's good.
Didn't
he's
try
good.
To screw around with kickoffs and play around with that kind of nonsense. Just kick it, man. Just stop. After that Jacksonville game from a year ago where you're trying to place that thing and cost the team the game, just kick the ball. You know, what are we doing here? We don't need to get all fancy with kickoffs and all that kind of stuff. But no, I really did. I thought a really good dress rehearsal. Mm. And that's kind of what that was on Saturday. I don't think any of us are sitting here taking copious notes going, okay, this is going to happen in the regular season. Like, you know, Jim on The Office or anything like that, or Patrick with his notebook. But I thought a fun first half. I mean, that's about what I watched was the first half of that game, and I thought it was a lot of fun. We saw some good things from that team on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think we need to see Caliendo again.
No.
Yeah, Driscoll, Caliendo.
Caliendo took Jack Cochran's number and reputation and threw it on his back and was like, I got this moving forward.
Wow.
That was not a good showing for Caliendo. But it was a good showing for Emmett Johnson. Yep. It was a good showing for R. Mason Thomas to see just the explosiveness around the outside.
Emmett Johnson had 10 broken tackles in that game I saw yesterday.
Yes. Checo had 13 all year last year.
Yes.
Oh, did he have that many?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that many. I know what you said. I know what you said. Believe me, I know exactly what you said. I ain't deaf. I was surprised he had that many. Yep. I'm surprised he was tackled that many times because, you know, he ran into his line most of the day.
Fell down.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be, I mean, Emmett Johnson would be the best running back that the Chiefs have had since Kareem Hunt. That's what it looked like on
he
that
looked
first
great.
Half.
He looked great. That's why I was excited about that kid from the minute they drafted him at Nebraska. Yep. And let me shout out Matt McMullen and Rob Alberino and the 65 Toss Power Trap crew for having the highlights of the game that took place at Arrowhead a year ago, where it has like four now Kansas City Chiefs on that team, two from Cincinnati, Cyrus Allen and the other big wide receiver.
Caldwell.
And then a couple of guys from Nebraska as well. And they played in that Kansas City Classic a year ago. And I thought they did a great job of featuring that during the game and reminding us these four dudes played at Arrowhead. So now I'm thinking, who's playing at Arrowhead this year college-wise? Anybody? Maybe that's where the Chiefs are going to look and scout and get some players, because it looks like they got a couple of good ones out of that game. Just that game alone played at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, go Big Red.
Your bingo hit. Looks like everything on your bingo
card. Everything hit on the bingo card?
I think so, man. I think so with the Clark Hunt interview.
Yeah.
It sounded like it. Yep.
Oh, yeah. We got everything with the Clark interview.
Did you mention the World Cup?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I figured. Yeah.
Brought up the family.
Yep.
Yep.
And always something we want to do. And then, like, the highlight of Cyrus Allen was, you know, that catch.
Then they better be here when I come back downstairs, turds.
I'm sorry. That's not it. I meant to play the introduction video that we got right before the game that got everybody with the I know that I'm hard.
Our focus here at training camp needs to be on what we're trying to accomplish this season. We want to be ready to go. We want to start the season on the right note. We want to get back to the playoffs and then earn our ticket to Los Angeles, where we want to get another Lombardi Trophy and bring it back to Kansas City. In order to do that, we've got to have the right mindset.
Great mindset today, great mindset today. Everything about mindset.
You need to be focused on the here and now. I'm making sure that you're giving your best every day.
Let's get it, let's go.
That mindset starts here at training camp with listening to our coaching staff.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
It's all the mindset.
You need to be focused on giving your best on the next rep. And we're gonna be able to achieve our goal of making it out to L.A. and winning another Lombardi Trophy.
Hell yeah. I know that I'm hard.
Big time.
Do you think they play that music when he's speaking to the team? Could you imagine if the music was playing in the background, right? I mean, how awesome would that be if that was playing in the background? Yeah, or better yet, just have Peter Woods sing and lead him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't give it to us.
Well, they did. We just... I
hear there may be a second shot at that in this week's preseason game.
There will be a second shot.
Because I texted somebody with the Chiefs yesterday, Rob Alberino, and I said, look, next time you have technical difficulties with somebody singing, I am very willing to get on FaceTime and sing Brett Veach Town.
Mm.
I did not hear back.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, crickets on that. Yeah, that's fair. Good job, Rob. Thank you.
I'm here for you, Rob! All you got to do is just say, Bob, you're on, and I will sing Brett Veach Town anywhere, anytime.
Well, I think we may be, if that first half is an indication of anything, we may be hearing that song a lot this season.
Yeah, probably so.
We might be hearing that a lot this season, not only with the rookies, but the young guy. I mean, Jeffrey Bassa, just the second-year players that didn't get enough time, it makes you really question what happened last year again. Why wasn't Bassa out there? Why weren't some of these guys out there? Bassa, he understands what's happening. He was not in no man's land a lot. You look at Sonny Styles, first-round pick this year for the Washington Commanders, linebacker, one of the best linebacker in the draft. Didn't know what was happening in that first preseason game. He's looking everywhere. He's
so
looking all
hard,
around.
Bro.
It is.
It's so hard.
It's extremely difficult, right?
Yeah.
That was not what I saw out of Jeffrey Bassa, which is like we've talked about this linebacker group, how thin it is. Man, if Bassa is like a guy that we can trust, it's awesome.
I want you going forward in this job, however long you stay in this job, however far you go, wherever you end up, I want you to always have that Eagles experience in your mind where you were on the sidelines holding that microphone. Mm. And realizing how fast that game was moving when you were just down there holding that microphone. Then put yourself in the position as a player, put yourself in position as a coach, and then put yourself in position as a rookie in your first game. And if you thought it was fast just standing there holding a parabolic microphone on the field, imagine what those guys are going through. And I really do wish there's no other. Well, maybe I'd love every fan to stand in a batter's box just for one pitch every once in a while. But if every fan got the opportunity at one time just to stand on the field and see how fast these games are, and you've had an experience like I've never had, and obviously Josh has got that experience. I've only been on the field a couple of times down in Denver for the final 2 minutes, and even down there in the final 2 minutes, you can just see
it's crazy
how fast this game is. And so when you're talking about this kid from Washington or Jeffrey Bassa, and you're like, man, they're kind of looking around doing, yeah, because it is moving yeah. out there, dude.
You go, this is different.
Yeah.
I know that I'm scared.
I wonder how many rookies are scared their first snap in the NFL. Yeah. Or maybe not scared, but just like,
Yeah, like I poop in my pants. You know, I've got
somebody
so much
pooped in the elevator, too, by the way. I don't know who it is, who did it. It could be animal feces, but there is a turd in our elevator today. BBL stinky.
That's not good.
Then they better be here when I come back downstairs, turds.
Well, our guy next door, John from KMBZ, comes into the studio this morning. He doesn't normally come into the studio, and he goes, did you ride the elevator up? I said, no.
No, I don't do that.
I don't do the elevator. I do the stairs. He goes, yeah, good idea. There's a pile of poop in it. I said, okay. So I went and looked, and yep. He goes, I don't know if it was a pig or a dog or a human.
Oh, they did have pigs in the studio, didn't they? Dana brought pigs in.
Are you being serious?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday?
Yeah, they brought pigs in. There's a video on our Instagram page.
Then that's what that is. That's one of the pigs pooped in the elevator.
So that means Dana, Scott, or Sam Stevie need to go clean up the
elevator. Have to clean it up. And that cleaning girl is not going to clean it up. I promise you
and
that.
She takes the elevator at 7
I know. I know she does. And she's going to get in that elevator.
Yeah, they brought
in. She's really good at her job.
She's great at her job.
She's going to do it. And it's going to be like, why are we? Well, when you guys left on Friday, the whole upstairs bathroom was flooded. So I went in there and it's just all leaking. I thought someone was peeing really loud. And yeah, so who other than Joe, our great Joe Blackwell downstairs, go get her. And she knows how to, she's done this a million times.
So Joe's in there with like an auger.
She's got two screwdrivers. She knows exactly the trick to get it to stop leaking.
She went in there with two vodka orange juices.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Joe.
Yeah, way to go, Joe. On. Friday at 10 a.m. Joe's like, screw this.
Hey, what go, Joe?
I got to fix the toilet. So yeah, I guess it's pig poop in the elevator now. It's been in there all weekend.
Thanks, Dana.
Why did Dana have pigs in the studio?
I don't know, but they were kissing Scott's neck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to talk?
Whenever you want to bring pigs in, let me know. But yeah, the preseason notes, I think that they hit on Cyrus Allen, everything he should have. Emmett Johnson stole the show. R. Mason Thomas looks like the part that we want. Butker still got it, and Chris Jones played one snap, and it was hilarious. Coming up on the other side, the real things from preseason is Mac opens up that wonderful notebook that we know he so diligently was writing in on Saturday afternoon on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Ken Walker III, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
We're living here in Brettfield's town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more.
Soon. You know,
and our sacks
we were talking about it off the microphones. Eric Bieniemy's photo they showed on the TV looked like it was from like 2017.
Yeah.
And then they panned it over to the live shot of Eric Bieniemy. Not the same person.
I am going to guess he has birds living in that beard. I swear to God.
And they're accountable.
They are.
I don't know if you saw this. Pretty hilarious. I retweeted it. Guy Fantasy Football Punishment.
Which one?
So after losing his league, he had to dress up as the Very Hungry Caterpillar and eat every food the caterpillar eats in the book. And his wife woke him up early in full costume, working through the entire challenge.
He's dressed up as the caterpillar. He's got like watermelon, salad, cabbage, oranges, all this stuff. So
I still have not saladed. I passed on a salad on Saturday and everybody looked at me like I had 10 heads. I'm done with the salad. I don't know, man. Can I go back to salad or not?
We played poker in the garage on Saturday at my house and we were talking about that. I was like, is anybody here saladed? And a couple of guys were like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine. Yeah. Like, no big issue. And then like three other guys like, absolutely not. And then one of my buddies like, yeah, I'll wait for the first freeze.
Yeah.
I was like, that makes sense.
Oh, that's a good one right there, the first freeze. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, my gosh, it's so long.
I know.
I mean, we think. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're 4 weeks away from the NFL starting, and we're going to blink. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Yep, Let's do this. When is the first freeze scheduled? I guess now it's probably later, probably early November, right? Usually is kind of when we get our first freeze. Used to be October, you know, mid-October you'd probably have that for. But who knows? I mean, maybe it does come early this year. I don't know.
You might have to redo the Brett Beach sounds.
Yeah, I know.
Because Tyreek Hill's not here.
Not yet, he's not, no. Somebody asked on X the other day, what number will Tyreek Hill wear now that Emma Johnson is wearing 10? For the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Emmett gets to keep that one.
Absolutely. Unless Kyrie's going to pay him money, but I'm sure Tyreek doesn't have the money to pay him.
No.
That's why he needs a job.
Tyreek just be lucky to get a jersey.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, yeah.
All right, Mac. Notebook is got to be open. You guys and myself can talk about this, but number one on Mac's notes, the name.
These are mine. I mimic a lot of these.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you do? Okay. Wow. Look at that.
Look at you guys.
Mimicking a lot of stuff. Whoa, plastic surgery.
Frenemies.
First thing, the first offensive line looked pretty good, I thought, over the weekend, right? You guys think the first offensive line looked for the five plays or whatever it was that they were in there? Josh Simmons did exactly what we needed him to do. I thought Jalen Moore did fine on the outside, moving down. What's his name?
Benson.
The Benson, the rookie kid on the inside. And so I think right now the first offensive line looked pretty good for the first five. Again, small ass sample size, guys, but I think we saw what we needed to see out of that first offensive line. And by seeing what we needed to see, Josh Simmons doing what he needed to do.
Yeah. Two things on that. One, weird that Benson didn't play right tackle at all. I knew they were going to start him at right guard, obviously, but I thought with the second guys, we would get some looks at him at right tackle. I thought that was very odd.
Kind of tells you maybe where they're leaning, right?
With I guess
if Trey's out, you know.
Yeah, if Trey's out, yeah. Obviously he's going to be that guard. Have you guys seen any of this stuff from Mitchell Schwartz about Josh Simmons and the snatch technique? He's been talking about it for the last few weeks in training camp. And then
those Schwartz brothers were talking about the offensive line this weekend.
Yeah,
tell me about the snatch technique.
I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm an All-Pro, former All-Pro.
I'm not asking. No,
like
just
Mitchell
dumb
Schwartz.
It down.
Dumb it down.
For the people listening who aren't watching Mitchell on Twitter,
basically,
you know?
Instead of what you see with an offensive lineman do, sticking their hands out, it's kind of this thing where you snatch them down, you kind of throw them down to the ground. You kind of get back. He gets his momentum forward. The defender, that is, gets his momentum forward. And then you kind of, without holding him, boom, snatch him down to the ground. And I know Mitchell Schwartz could be listening to this going, geez, that is not it. But for the naked eye like us, that's what it looks like.
Right.
Is
there something wrong with that, though?
So the downside of it is that you are backing up into the quarterback's pocket. And you saw a throw from Justin Fields where he throws and his plant leg, you know, Mahomes' leg that he tore would be his left leg, his plant leg.
Right.
Gets bumped by Josh Simmons' ass a little bit from the snatch technique, backing up into him. And that is what Mitchell Schwartz is very, very worried about with this technique. And we saw it in action in the preseason game. So it is starting to make me think, like, okay, we got to be careful on
that. If I can piggyback that, is that also on the vision of the quarterback?
At some level, yeah, but if you're in my pocket within a couple seconds, like there's only so much I can do, which is what Schwartz is saying is the downside of this technique. You're going to back up very, very quickly, and there's not much the quarterback can do.
But if you're snatching a guy to the ground, I guess that's what we're calling it, then that guy's on the ground, fall on top of him, you've eliminated him from that play. I'm just trying to think through this. I've never heard of this technique before, really, and I'm sure most of the people listening have never really.
Start watching the All-22 Festival.
All right, yeah, Dusty, when you do it, I'll do it. You call me, you text me, and the next time you watch the All-22.
Well, you'll be waiting for that phone call until I'm dead, buddy.
Because you ain't getting a return on that one either.
Ew.
But, I mean, this is stuff that, like, the football people know about, like
the snatch technique
and all that.
Yeah.
So is that going to be the buzzword this year in the NFL? Because, you know, every year in the NFL, we get these buzzwords, right? Like, oh, we're going to talk about whatever this year, that the early starting of the offensive line, and that becomes
high pointing
the ball. Yes, that's another great one. We come up with these weird terms every year. So the is it called the snatch block? Is that what it's called?
How many people now are experts?
Like me and Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many people are experts now on the cover two shell?
Right. Oh, yep, yeah, yep. That's exactly right. Yeah, right. The shell game. I used to play that on the streets of New York, rip people off. It was great.
Yeah, it's the snatch and trap technique. Instead of absorbing a bull rush or a long arm move, the lineman violently grabs the defender's wrist, arm, or shoulder pad and pulls them downward. Uses the defender forward momentum.
Yeah.
Let's go. Point for me. To send them crashing to the turf.
So why wouldn't all offensive linemen do that? I mean, I don't
know. Because of the downside. Yeah, you're backing up into that quarterback's pocket, and he mentioned backing up into the quarterback's knees.
And nothing is effective 100%, though.
Of course
not. You know?
No, so it's just a quick note. You can keep going. Okay. I didn't want to get too sidetracked.
That's fine.
Sorry.
Our Mason Thomas is as advertised, I think. This is why I was excited about him. We haven't had somebody screaming off the edge like that. Frank Clark, Justin Houston, Tamba Hali, and Derek Thomas. Those are the four players that I, and maybe Jared Allen's in that group as well, but I still don't think Jared was as fast as what I mean, my God, our Mason Thomas, where have you been for the last couple of years? Because that's just what the doctor ordered, is a guy like that with speed on the edge that can just boom to the quarterback. Ooh. I mean, it was insane watching him. And maybe because we haven't had that in a while, I was so excited about it. Or maybe it's because he was really good and really fast. Either way, I thought our Mason Thomas, he really showed up, man. He showed up big for this team.
Republican Mason Thomas.
Yes.
As we got told on the text line from Speak to Text. So he approved that message.
That is good still.
Are you tired of not getting to the quarterback? I'm Republican Mason Thomas, and I'm going to put an end to that. And I approve this message. Are you tired of staying on the field for 3rd and 16 and can't get the offense off? Republican Mason Thomas is here to fix your needs. Vote for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I thought he was good. I also thought Cyrus Allen really showed. I mean, all the hype that we've heard about Cyrus Allen, and then he went out there in the game and showed it. One of his big plays was called back on a penalty. But even still, I mean, look, Cyrus Allen looked the part. I didn't need to see much more out of Cyrus Allen to say, well, you know, he looked the part as a very good wide receiver. Obviously, Emmett Johnson and Breshard Smith, man, those two guys were great on Saturday afternoon. I thought Emmett Johnson especially, busting through at least 10 tackles was the stat that he had. 10 tackles that he broke, you know? I mean, that's incredible. For us in Kansas City, anyway, that's an incredible number, right?
To kind of piggyback on this note, what got me kind of bricked up was seeing that screenplay to Breshard Smith, and I was like,
look
what you've got again. Now that you have a running back that can run this sort of offense, right. Now you can run that screen pass.
Had him last year.
And then I thought it was cool seeing Emmett Johnson's family the whole game.
Yeah. Like
they had him up there, and then
that
they
was
called
cool.
They called a touchdown back, and his brother or whoever that was in the crowd was like, ah, come on. Preseason,
I do hate when they say the first NFL touchdown. It's the preseason. That doesn't count.
That's not
it does. It's still cool for those guys.
Very cool.
Don't get me wrong. Still really cool. But your first one is when the lights are on, right?
Totally.
In the regular season. Couple of things to pick at a little bit. The special teams. Another big return. Like, I wouldn't care. It's the preseason, but this is now 3 years of not having great special teams coverage, you know, out there. That needs to be stepped up a little bit. Peter Woods, I know he's got the ankle thing going on right now. Didn't really see what I wanted to out of him. I wonder how serious that ankle injury is and how much that held him back. And then the backup offensive line, I don't need to see them anymore. BBL stinky.
Yeah, that's rough.
8 penalties. Isn't this why Eric Bieniemy's here?
Yeah.
Right, like this is the number one reason why Eric Bieniemy's here. There better not be another penalty.
Yeah, because they really moved the ball in that first drive. They had the screen pass, they had the run, they had was it the screen pass that got called back?
Yes.
Yeah,
and to then Cyrus Allen. Yeah,
and then they had the Noah Gray had like the 15-yard catch that was just short of the first down, really moving the ball. But the frustration of the penalties. Obviously, it's the first game.
And Andy says we'll get it cleaned up, Dusty.
For sure.
He said that 17 times last year.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
So I think that could, you know, be there as well. And I thought Jaden Hicks played well
in his
opportunity. Yep. And again, like, we're not being hyperbolic. We're going off one game of seeing this team for the first time in a year. And yes, the Rams are playing backup, so are the Chiefs. But like, it's all about like knowing where you're at on the field. It's those little like dress rehearsal moments where it's like, hey, if this was a real situation, you would need to be here. So if the hit that Jaden Hicks made that I'm referencing to, where he stuck the guy right in the hip and stopped him short of the first down on 3rd and 7 or 8, like that might have been Puka Nacua in a real game in week 13 or whenever you play the Rams. And that would have to be a play that you'd have to make.
And he made that play and looked like he was actually playing to get an actual spot on this roster to play more than he did last year and the year before, because we know he can lay the wood. We know Hicks can do that. Big stick Hicks, right? That's what he said to us. That's what the team called him when we were down there last year in St. Joe, Mac. And I think that's what you want to see. You want to get off the field on third down, whether you're letting Harrison Meavis, my God, is he getting thicker. And, you know, you want to force people to three. Now, I don't know if McVay in the regular season goes for
that.
Did
he get fatter over the... I swear to God, that was like the guy who used to kick for the Raiders, Janikowski.
No, that's massive. That's the dude from Mizzou, man, M-I-Z.
The thicker kicker. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
He is thick. And then, you know, we've yet to see Mansoor Delane. Mm-hmm. So he'll get involved and sprinkle his talent in there as well. I assume he probably plays Saturday at 6:30 against the Bucs. So that'll be interesting to see as well. So
I thought also too with Jaden Hicks, man, I was going through the Chiefs post game notes that they send out, and they had a note about Jaden Hicks, which tells me they're trying to let everybody know, hey, Jaden Hicks is a pretty good player, right? Because it's something we've talked about all offseason long about this secondary. If you're judging based on one game, that secondary looked pretty damn good. Now, again, it's preseason. It's, you know, going against twos and threes and all of that. But Jaden Hicks had himself a game. 7 tackles, 5 solos, 1 for a loss, and 1 pass defended. Like, you do that in the regular season in a game, you're the MVP of that game. That's the type of defensive performance that Jaden Hicks had. I mean, he stacked the ballot box or the stat sheet, however you want to say it, and went out there and was wrecking people, making tackles around the line of scrimmage, making plays in the secondary. Like, it's like, okay, man, this guy really came to play today. So kudos to Jaden Hicks and the rest of the secondary, which I thought stepped up pretty good. Again, it's
Noel
second
Williams
and third
looked
teams.
Great.
Yeah.
So special teams is where our number one issue is.
Number one issue, yeah. I mean, so far, special teams,
yeah.
I would say so. Yeah, I think so. Garrett Nussmeier looked awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that quarterback that's going to be your backup now for the next 4 years, and you're not going to have to spend money on a backup quarterback. And the Chiefs trade Garrett Nussmeier for a third-round draft pick.
I wouldn't hate it at all.
But I thought he was really good. He was really good. You saw exactly why they drafted that kid, right? It really is reminiscent of the Kevin Cobb pick of years ago. We're like, what are we doing in Philadelphia drafting? And they flipped him. But I think Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that they want because they're projecting out salary cap for the future, too. And Justin Fields is costing you, what, $8 million or whatever the guy in the jean shorts cost you last year. And you're getting 4 years of Garrett Nussmeier for $8 million. And so it is a shrewd, shrewd, shrewd financial move by the Chiefs. And if it pans out and he's a good backup quarterback for you, man, you got all kinds of money now that you can spend elsewhere for this team.
And you talk about the Eric Bieniemy effect. This was Bashard Smith on EB and the penalties.
Yeah, it's going to be hell. I know for sure, but we gotta clean those up, and we'll be good for sure. Our offense will be real clean.
Gonna be hell. Good luck up in St. Joe today, boys.
Yeah. Look at the humidity on the windows, too. Like, go for it.
But it is Monday, 6:30, so we get into our overreaction Mondays. Number one on the list in our rundown, it says Mac. So go ahead, MAC.
Yeah, I said it earlier in the show, but Emmett Johnson would be the best running back we've had since Kareem Hunt. That's what I saw. I saw a guy who could catch passes, who could force missed tackles, who was quick, who had vision. I mean, you mentioned that touchdown that got called back. Every running back that we've had these past 3 years would have ran into that guard, would have ran into that guard's ass, and it would have been a gain of one, loss of one. That's what it would have been. Emmett Johnson already has vision that we haven't had in this backfield in quite some time. And I don't want to, poo-poo on Isaiah Pacheco. He was a massive part of winning that 22-23 Super Bowl when he was healthy. But even then, I don't think he had the burst, the explosion, the vision that we're seeing from number 10 out of Nebraska. Emmett Johnson, man, he is the real deal.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching him play.
That's Devin Neal.
Yeah, and Devin Neal is the real deal. No, Greg Hill is the real deal. Ask Marty. But I think when we're looking back at this draft, you know, and we recapped it the next day or the Monday after, Emmett Johnson was one of the players that I was really excited about them getting in that draft. And I've kind of been on him since the day that he was picked. And so to see him go out there and perform like that, that was awesome, man. I hope it does translate into the regular season, because if we got a guy like that in the fifth round, changes the dynamic of the offense, you know?
Yeah, I'll go from one Johnson to another Johnson. Ben Johnson is probably not being dramatic. If you miss the quote, he said he wants to have the best offense that the NFL has ever seen, going back to that 2014 Broncos offense when Peyton Manning and company put up numbers. This comes from Ari Mirov. Head coach Ben Johnson said receivers coach Antoine Randall L. Remember him? Oh, yeah, we all do. Call the plays in the second half versus the Browns today when Chicago scored 24 points and put up 235 yards of offense. Quote, I think he's got a chance to be an OC in this league. I think he's got a chance to be a head coach in this league. That all comes from Ben Johnson, who wants to put up points. The Chicago Bears are going to put up points this year, and they probably will have the number one offense in the NFL. Mm. They have a lot of weapons, from Colston Loveland to Kmet to Burden to Adunze to their running backs to their quarterback, who can be that guy. Who I think now, if you're putting a future bet on it, Caleb Williams should be somebody that you consider maybe an MVP this year. I don't know what Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson still do. I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be healthy all year. But the way this offense can move, and again, I know it's against the Cleveland Browns. I know it's preseason, but 24 points and 235 yards with a scrubs playing, and you're able to execute that offense. They have weapons on this offense. We know the NFC North is explosive. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. Chicago's kind of arrived last year. I think Caleb Williams also kind of proved a lot of people wrong last year, and now he has a little bit bigger of a target on his back. He's got to be better. Year one, there were some unnecessary sacks. There were some overthrows. Year two, obviously, we saw the hero throw against the Packers in that divisional game in the back of the end zone. Great play there. I think this offense can compete with what the Denver Broncos put up. They're going to run a two tight end set. So when you listen to Mac Morey's Fantasy Football Show on Sundays coming up in about 3 weeks, don't hesitate this week. On maybe taking some Chicago Bears and loading up your team with Chicago Bears. Luther Burden, I think, is going to be fine with a hamstring. He's going to be the number one option in that offense, and Colston Loveland's going to be number two. That still leaves Adunze and Cole Kmet in that offense, and Caleb Williams to be your quarterback as well.
Who's their backup quarterback?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I know that the Chicago...
Oh, yeah, I do. It's Secret Agent Man. It's Tyson Bagent.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Secret Agent Man. Yeah, so... Chicago Bears offense, I think, will be good. It could be possibly the best, might be the best offense in the NFL.
My overreaction is that R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief.
Who's?
Ours. R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief. Okay. He is the guy that this new version, this new era, this new part two, if you will, this rebirth of Patrick Mahomes and his second act or third act, however we're talking about it right now. R. Mason Thomas will be that guy on the defense like Chris Jones is now, like Tamba Hali was, like Justin Houston was, like Derek Thomas was. R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief and the guy that we talk about as the defensive star, powerful guy, leader of this team now in this new era. That's how strongly I feel about that guy on the defense. He's going to be outstanding.
Yep. Completely agree. He looked amazing. It wasn't just against the pass. He was able to stop the run, too, which was something that I was worried about. Okay, is this going to be a third down kind of special gadget guy? It didn't look like that. We've not seen bursts like that off the edge in years.
No, exactly. And that is something that you can judge from preseason. Speed. You know, nobody's slowing down out there. You're going full 100 miles an hour, however you want to say it. And R. Mason Thomas, man, he just jumped out of it.
This comes from the text line. My wife has been snatch blocking me for 20 years.
I hear you.
You can't make up algorithms because Polymarket Football preseason rookie comparisons. KC Concepcion equals Antonio Brown. Carnell Tate equals T. Higgins. Jordan Tyson equals Brandon Ayuk. Mekhi Lemon equals Chris Godwin. Jeremiah Love is Alvin Kamara. Fernando Mendoza is Jared Goff. Ty Simpson is Matt Ryan. Kenyon Sadiq is Jake Ferguson. Sonny Styles is Devin White. And Spencer Fano is Trent Williams. So there's.
Yep, I love it. Everybody loves it.
Week one of preseason's in the book.
Ty Simpson did look pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to win that job.
Well, that's if Matty Staff can stay healthy. Yeah, never know. Coming up on the other side, Dark Horses. I think this website doesn't know the definition.
I thought so, too.
We'll get into it next. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Saquon Thornton, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Monday, as I don't think that the NFL and Bleacher Report knew the definition of a dark horse, right? Like, a dark horse for sexiest body at this station would be Jay Binkley. And that's not a shot at Jay Binkley. But there might be people that like, you know, the big man, right?
There's juice all over the place.
They want the big bear and Jay Binkley. It'd be a dark horse to see that many people, you know, gold. He's taking selfies at the gym looking tough, you know, right in there. You know, gold.
Is he posting selfies from the gym?
Come on now. I don't lie, dude. I told you this before.
Yeah, he spends the month making fun of Drew for it, and then once he starts working out, you see him in the gym all the time.
They're not shirtless.
But okay.
And I'm not married.
Yeah, which is irrelevant.
What does that have to do with anything?
There's all these semantics.
I didn't realize there was a list.
Yeah. Oh my, yeah. The guy posting the gym photo. I understand it's motivation for you, but there should be a private place where you can do that.
It's called your private story. You can make it private.
You can. You sure can. Yeah. Then do it. Make it your private story. Because, you know, okay, I see that picture. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. I see. But he's not shirtless.
He's rocked up. He's thick.
No, but he's serious. Yeah.
Good. He should be.
Hair's gelled.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm glad he's getting in the gym. Yeah. He does look a little bit more like of a solid unit.
Yep.
But he would not be, Gold would not be a dark horse for like guy that you'd want to date, right? Like that'd be like one of the obvious ones. Single, good looking, confident, popular, can't go out to eat. Doesn't want to be noticed.
Right.
So the dark horses in this article from Bleacher Report are the Green Bay Packers, the Houston Texans.
Not a dark horse at all.
And the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Minnesota Vikings do make sense. That's a dark horse,
that
right?
That is a dark horse.
That's Kyler Murray. That is, can they get back to the level of play that they have? They went and got Jordan. They have Jordan Addison. They went and got Juwan Jennings. They have, of course, Justin Jefferson. And they went and got Kyler Murray. So that'd be a dark horse. So you ask, you know, who's our dark horses this year? And, you know, I'm kind of like Mac. I mean, I don't really hate, you know, maybe going with the team that he goes with, but the Texans being a dark horse is kind of odd to me because they were a really good team last year with that
defense.
They were
a divisional playoff.
That's right. They just got to get things figured out with their quarterback, which, you know, whatever that could be, but
they're tied for the fifth best odds, by the way. Texans. Tied for fifth.
Best odds to win the Super Bowl or to go to the to win the Super Bowl. That is not a dark horse.
Can you ask me where Dallas Cowboys are?
They're tied with the Packers 20-1. They're middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. So I'm surprised.
Maybe the Packers could be a dark horse.
Yeah.
Or you know.
Yeah. Semi-7. They're tied for the eighth best odds. And again, there's probably half the league right there.
Yeah, the Packers. Let's talk about them for a second as kind of a dark horse. They're probably, the third most talked about team right now in the NFC Central, right? Obviously, everybody's in love with the Bears and what they're doing. Kyler
NFC
Murray.
North?
Yeah, what did I say? AFC, NFC?
Central.
Central, whatever it is. The Bears, obviously, everybody loves them. Everybody, Kyler thinks the Vikings are going to be back. People love KOC as the head coach there. The Lions, nobody's really talking about this year. And then Green Bay is kind of that third team in the NFC North. And so when you look at the Packers, dark horse, I guess, I mean, they're probably the third best team, allegedly, in their own division maybe right now. Maybe the second best team, depending on how you look at the Vikings. And so I think right now, yeah, I think it's okay to say the Packers are a dark horse. I just don't think they're a Phoenix Cardinal dark horse type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, and if it makes me sound contradicting, I think Dallas would be my dark horse.
Yeah.
Every year, everybody says, you know, Dallas Super Bowl is what they want like 35, 40 years ago when it was. But why not Dallas, right? Would that not turn the NFL upside down on its head? I mean, the Knicks won the NBA title, and no one had that on their bingo card this year.
Mm-hmm.
I say no one. There's probably a few people like, well, the Knicks are, you know, if they can get it together and Kat and Brunson and OG can all get on the same page and they can, you know, get Mike Brown's expertise and move forward in the playoffs. And then we saw the Knicks win the NBA final in five games.
And that was squinting real hard, carrying the one, you know, doing long division and all that kind of stuff. And they still won.
And I mean, you know, I think Dallas has the pieces. I thought the draft, they went out and got young defense of, you know, personnel. Why not, you know, Jerry Jones? That's going to get the NFL moving. That's going to get people talking. That's going to have that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dak is always just kind of scrutinized because the fact he plays for Dallas, the fact that Dallas is like everybody's favorite, like puppet to mock. And they do have CeeDee Lamb. They do have George Pickens. They do have Jake Ferguson. They have a lot of offensive weapons that have been good for a couple of years now, and now they have sprinkled in young, talented defensive players, which is where they went picks 1 and 2 in the draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe the Micah Parsons trade does end up working. And I think that if you look at what Dallas can do, that division is always a you know, a Montreal screw job, if you want to throw back a reference from the WWF back in the day. But I don't know what Philadelphia is going to do. I sure as hell know what Washington's going to do.
Yep.
And then you have, you know, the Giants, who, good hell almighty, I don't know if Jackson Tark is down the blue tent.
Every time he gets hit, are they going to take him to the tent now?
I don't know. And then they showed Cam Scatterby running routes before the game, and that leg doesn't look like it's
Yeah, but then he
ready.
Goes out in the game and plays and does just fine. See, yeah. that tweet by the other guy, Dove, is like, oh, yeah. Look at this guy. Did you watch the game, Dove? Because you posted those highlights yeah. after he went out in the game and did just fine.
I just watched the cut move, and the leg did not look like it was fully like planting like a normal NFL football player's leg should. But I look at Dallas, I think of what their offense can be. I look at what maybe they could do in the NFC East. Now, again, I don't know if they can compete with the Rams yet, but I think if I'm picking a dark horse, why not let it be Dallas? Yeah. I'm not a Dallas fan, but they have probably the most annoying fan base in football. They have the most annoying legacy in football, but, you know, they make people have conversations. And if Dallas is good, then it makes this show a lot more fun. It makes the NFL a lot yep. more fun, because then we get to get into the playoff system and be like, can they actually do this? Can they actually get back to where they want to get to? And why not have Jerry Jones piss people off before he's got just a few years left?
Yeah, no, Dallas, it's good for the NFL. Absolutely. Dallas being good is a good, but Dallas just being relevant is a good thing, right? They can, then that's what they've done for all these years. Yep. They've been a relevant average team that has, you know, captivated America with all their nonsense. My dark horse is New Orleans because, oh my God, they're not supposed to win anything. That to me is a dark horse, not Minnesota or Houston or Green Bay or somebody like that that's kind of on the fringe of things. New Orleans, I don't think anybody thinks they can do anything this year, so why not go with a team that really is a dark horse that doesn't have any expectations? So that's where I go, New Orleans on this one.
Yeah, they could be a breakout offense for sure. They could be one of the this year's Colts sort of thing with as far as offense yeah. is concerned. Maybe not the whole team and the record, but yeah, I mean, Kellen Moore is going to... He was the Packers offensive coordinator or the Cowboys offensive coordinator when they led the league in points. He was the offensive coordinator when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and they yep. had that great offense. He's now 9 years calling plays and a head coach, second year. I think he's proven himself. So I'm with you on that. And I'm big hot on the Cowboys, big time hot on the Cowboys. I think they're going to have a great defense. I actually think they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. And they've had a top five offense every year for the last 5 years, seemingly. I'll go the Jags. I'll go the Jaguars. They were great last year. They won 13 games. Now no one's talking about them. It doesn't make sense. They're 30-1 odds. They're two spots below the Cowboys at 20-1. And yeah, I think the Trevor Lawrence is getting better and better. Is he elite? No. Could he be top 10 this year? Absolutely, yes. They've got Brian Thomas Jr., who had a down year last year, and they were still able to score points. Parker Washington is a number one. Well, he's a 1B. He's one of the best number twos. And yeah, they're going to be able to run the football as they always do with Tootin and the guys. So yeah, and the defense will see. But yeah, I'd go with the Jags. I think we talk about the Colts and the Texans. I think the Jags might win that division.
You know, in a division that nobody cares about, that's a very interesting division.
Anymore.
It may be one of the more compelling yeah. divisions out there yeah. right now. But like you hear the teams and you're just like, they don't really move the needle, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of history. There's not a lot of sizzle. There's not a lot of substance there. They're just teams, right? But this year, I mean, the Colts could be pretty good. The Texans can be good. The Jags could be good. You know, there's a lot of teams out there. And then there's the Titans, which have, I mean, they're turning it around. New coach, young rookie quarterback. And so you've got that as well. That's kind of a compelling division, I'll be honest with you.
Very compelling.
They may beat up each other and everybody goes 9-7 or something like that, you know?
Coming up on the other side, it's not an I told you so or me taking a victory lap. It's just the reality of what you're going to have in Kansas City for the next 10 years here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Jaden Candy, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.